Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Tesvav. We are holding three lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Yud Dalit Amid Beis Seishir, sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored anonymously by Prad Talmidim of Yeshiva Sarbein Yitzchak Elchanan, in appreciation for the yeshiva endowing me with the Abraham Arbisfeld Chair at the upcoming Virtual Reads Dinner tomorrow. Also reminding everyone to go to www.yu.edu/ReadsGala2021 and reserve for this important event. And by Dr. David and Sandra Belson, in memory of David's father-in-law, Dr. Jerome Eckstein Yirmiyahu, Ben Harav Mordechai Elav Shalom, the Shem Shem and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. We're in the middle of discussing the Seder HaDvarim as far as Hatavas HaNeros and Aktaras HaKtaras. Which one happened first? And we seem to have a stira. So we had one answer that Abaye offered to the stira yesterday, that Kan Ba'Tavas Neros, Kan Ba'Tavas Chamesh Neros, that in between cleaning out the Chamesh Neros and the Shtei Neros, that's when the Ketores was brought. So the Hatavas HaNeros was both before and after the Ketores, because they split the Hatavas HaNeros. Today we're going to have a second answer, and that's going to be the answer of Rav Papa, and the Gemara is going to explain why Rav Papa doesn't want to say like Abaye, why Abaye doesn't want to say like Rav Papa. Then we're going to discuss how they would do the Matan Dam of the Karban Tamid. So the Gemara is going to tell us that the Matan Dam of the Karban Tamid was done according to Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, which we already saw yesterday, in a very unique, particular way. It didn't follow the normal series of Matan Dam that you would expect for a Karban Ola, nor that which you would expect for a Karban Chatas. And the Gemara is going to have five questions on the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, and that's going to take us through most of Amud Beis. And then at the very end of Amud Beis, we're going to have a Stira about the location of the Beis HaMokad in the Lishchas HaTloim. Where exactly was this room of the other way around. The location of the Lishchas HaTloim in the Beis HaMokad. The Beis HaMokad was a large room with a fire in it to keep the Kohanim warm. So one of the rooms in the corners of the Beis HaMokad was a Lishchas HaTloim. So we're going to discuss a stira as far as where that was, and that's already going to bring us into tomorrow's daf. So we are holding three lines from the end of the page on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. So we're right in the middle of a conversation over here. So says the Gemara, my time of Daba Shaul. What's the basis for Abba Shaul that you're Makdir the Ketores only after you've finished being Metiv all of the Neros? So Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says when it talks about being Makdir the Ketores in the morning in the Beis HaMikdash, it says Baboker, Baboker, Peitivu as HaNeros. Actually in the Mishkan, because it's talking about Aaron, Victor of Aaron Ketores Samim, Baboker, Baboker, Peitivu. So first it says Hatavas HaNeros Vahadar Yaktirena, and only after that it says Yaktirena. So we see that after Hatavas HaNeros, that's when Yaktirena comes up. V'Rabbanan Maika Amar Rachmana, and the Chacham who disagree with Abba Shaul, how are they going to explain this pasuk? So the Gemara answers, they're going to explain the pasuk of Beitivas HaNeros Yaktirena is Be'idon Hatava Te Makter Ketores, that at the time of the Hatavas HaNeros, that's when the Ketores has to have already been huktar, and that's when the Ashan is going to be older, the smoke is going to be going up already at the time of the Hatavas HaNeros. So the fact that we mention Ketores after Hatavas HaNeros is not indicating that Ketores happens after Hatavas HaNeros. Rather, it's telling me that by the time you're doing Hatavas HaNeros, Ketores has already happened. And I'll prove to you that that has to be the case, say the Chachamim. Dilote Mahachi, if you're not going to say that that's what it means, that at the time that you're made of the Neros, the Ketores has already been done? Well, look at how we describe what happens at the Ketores HaKetores in the afternoon. Ben Arbayim Dechsiv, in the afternoon when we describe the Ketores, the Pasuk says, Uvahalos Arones HaNeros Ben Arbayim Yaktirena. So Achinami, you're going to say that also means, Debereisha Madlik Neros, that first Aaron lights the Neros in the afternoon, Vahadr Makdir Ketores Shel Ben Arbayim, and then he's Makdir, the Ketores Shel Ben Arbayim, that can't be. So says Mar, why not? V'chitei ma'achinami, maybe that's taka what it means. That first he lights the Neros in the menorah, and then he's makdir the Ketores. Well, I'll prove to you that it can't be. V'atanya, because there's a brisa that tells us as follows. When it discusses the Hadlakas HaNeros, Pasuk says, Me Erev Ad Boker. What do we darshan from that phrase, Me Erev Ad Boker? Two things. Number one, Tein La Midasa Sheitei Dolekes V'Olechas Kol HaLayla Me Erev Ad Boker, that you should put in the right amount of oil that it should light all the way from Erev Ad Boker, and the Chacham figured that that's a chatzilug of shemen for each ner. That's the amount of oil that would be needed to last through the long winter nights in order for the neros to last all night, even though on the shorter summer nights, Rashi points out that obviously is going to leave over a little bit of oil. Toshanim quotes from the Riva that in the shorter summer nights, they would light with thicker wicks, and therefore it would and the longer winter nights, they would light with thinner wicks, and therefore in the winter nights it would burn the oil more slowly so that no matter what season of the year it was always exactly enough oil to last me erev ad boker. So that's one thing, that you put the amount of oil, and according to the Tos Yishanim, and adjust the thickness of the wicks to make sure that it lasts me erev ad boker. And davar acher, and an additional limud from me erev ad boker, that's what the Gvuras Ari points out, that this drasha is not disagreeing with the drasha that we just gave, that me erev ad boker means that it's the same amount of oil, because the original drasha was from the mashmaos of the simple reading of the pasuk me erev ad boker, whereas over here we're darshaning from the smichus of the word oso, and so therefore it's an additional drasha that still works with the previous drasha, and that is that ein lucha avoda shekshera me erev ad boker el zo bulvad, that none of the avodas hayom can be done after the adlakas haneros. Everything has to be done before the adlakas haneros. So by the adlakas haneros it says oso me erev ad boker, we learn that you do this avoda of adlakas haneros last. It's the final thing that's done closest to evening. Nothing happens after it. So it turns out that, meaning up until the boker, up until the next morning. So it must be that the Akhtaris Khtaris Shal Ben Arbaim happens before the Neros. But what did the Pasuk say? It said, Uvahalos Arones HaNeros Ben Arbaim Yaktirena. It had the word Yaktirena after the description of the Neros. So it must be that it's telling me, Elamaika Amar Rahmana, why is the Pasuk, what does the Pasuk mean when it says Yaktirena after describing the Neros? It means Be'idon Adlaka, by the time you're doing Adlaka, Te Maktar Ketores. The Ketores has to have already been Huktar. So Achinami over here also in the Pasuk of Baboker Betivus Neros Yaktirena that talks about the Hatavas Neros in the morning, Be'idon Atava, Te Maktar Ketores, that at the time of the Hatavas Neros in the morning also, it means that you've already been Maktir the Ketores. So essentially, whereas Abishol says, how do I know that you're Maktir the Ketores after the Tavas HaNeros? Because the Pasuk mentions Ketores after the Neros. The Rabbanan will tell you, no, when it says Ketores after the Neros, it means by the time you're doing the Neros, the Ketores has to have already been brought. And I know that that's the case, because when we describe the Ketores of Ben Arbayim, it also says Ketores after the Neros. And over there, it for sure means that by the time the Neros are lit, the Ketores shall Ben Arbayim has already been brought. Va'abashol, how's Abishol going to answer that? Raya, meaning by Ben Arbayim, there's nothing to argue about. By Ben Arbayim, it seems pretty clear that the Neros have to be lit last, after the Ketores HaKetores. So why can't you say the same thing in the morning, that when it describes the Ketores after that Tavas HaNeros, it means that the Ketores has already happened. Va'abashol amalach shayni hasam d'chsiv oso. No, Abishol will say, by Ben Arbayim, you have a drasha to make, because the Pasuk says oso. So from that word, we darshan that all of the Avodas Hayom have to have been completed by the time you're doing the Hadlakas HaNeros, and nothing comes after it. So clearly the Pasuk, when it mentions Ketores afterwards, means that the Ketores has already been done. But the Pasuk that describes the Ketores in the morning, Baboker, Baboker, Beitivo, HaSaneros, Yaktirena, doesn't have the word Oso. So that's talking about the Hatavas HaNeros in the morning. You don't have to say such a pshat. You could say very simply that you do the Hatavas HaNeros, and then you do the Akhtaras Akhtaras in the morning. So that's how the Chacham and Abishol respond to each other. Now, going back to the Kasha that brought all this about, the Gemara had asked on Daf Yudal and Beis that there's a stira between two Mishnayos, that our Mishnah sounds like the Akhtaras comes before the Atavas HaNeros, whereas the Mishnah later later on Daf Chaf Hey is going to tell me that Tavas HaNeros comes before the Ketores. So Abaye gave one answer, that our Mishnah is talking about the last two Neros, and the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Hey is talking about the first five Neros. That yes, the last two Neros come after the Ketores, the first five Neros come before the Ketores. Rav Papa Amar, I'll give you a different answer to the stira between the Mishnayos. Lo Kasha, HaRabbanan, HaAba Shaul. Now that we just learned that it's a machlokas, Rabbanan and Abba Shaul, our Mishnah talks about Aktores, Aktores, before the Hatavas HaNeros, follows the sheet of the Rabbanan. That after the Hatavas Chamesh Neros, after the Hatava of the first Chamesh Neros, they're Maktiv the Ketores, and then they're Maktiv the last two Neros. Whereas the Mishnah later on, in Daf Chaf Hey, that says that the Goral of the Hatavas HaNeros came before the Goral of the Ketores, follows the sheet of Abba Shaul, that the Aktores, Aktores was done after the Hatava of all seven Neros. So again, the Rabbanan held that the Aktaris Aktaris was smack in the middle. They would be Metiv Chamesh Neros, do the Aktaris Aktaris, and then Metiv the last two Neros. Whereas Abishal said, no, they'd be Metiv all the Neros, and then they'd be Maktir the Ktaris. So Bemayu came to the Masis and the Hacha. So wait a second. So we're saying that our Mishnah over here is Kirabanan. Our Mishnah that holds that the Ktaris comes before the Atavas and Neros really means that the Ktaris comes in the middle of the Atavas and Neros, and it's following the sheet of the Rabbanan. Whereas Pius, the Mishnah and Daf Chaf Hey, that spoke about drawing the lots to determine who does what, that's going Kaba Shaul. That Mishnah that says that the Ketores comes after that of all Sheva Neros follows the sheet of Abba Shaul. Problem is, if you can say our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, then the Mishnah Daf Chaf Hey is like Abba Shaul, you go weiter in the Masechta, Ema Seifa, you go back, you go to Daf Lamed Aleph, and there's another Mishnah, Heviulo Es HaTamid, Kratzo Umerik Acher Shchita Al Yado, that describes that they would bring the Kohen Gadol, the Karban Tamid on Yom Kippur, he would cut the majority of Shnei Simanim in the neck of the animal, and then someone else would finish the Shchita for him, and then Nichnas LaHaktir Saktores Ula Heitiv Asaneros. Then it describes he'd be Maktir the Ktores followed by Hatavas Aneros, meaning Ktores coming before Hatavas Aneros, which means Asan Rabbanan. That the Mishnah Daf Lamed Aleph jumps back to the sheet of the Rabbanan, who disagree with Abba Shaul. So it turns out, Reisha V'Sefer Rabbanan, Mitzias Abba Shaul. So the Seder of Mishnayos and our Masechta are then very unusual. You have the Rabbanan, followed by Abba Shaul, followed by the Rabbanan again. Why would we keep jumping back and forth between the sheet of the Rabbanan and the sheet of Abba Shaul? Now it is unusual for the Mishnah, for the Gemara to describe, to call the Mishnah Daf Lamed Aleph a Seifa, Klape the Mishnah Daf Chaf Hey. Now it's not unusual that you have two different Mishnayos in the Masechta, an earlier one and a later one, and we call the later one the Seifa, the earlier one the Reisha, but that's always within one parak. Over here, the Mishnah Daf Chaf Hey is in the second parak. The Mishnah Daf Lamed Aleph is in the third parak. So that's unusual. In fact, in old prints of the Gemara, they used to print all of the Mishnayos of the parak on one page at the very beginning of the parak, and then they would print all of the Gemara on that whole parak, because the Mishnayos of one parak are like one long Mishnah. Exactly when it was divided up in the Mishnayos, sometimes you'll find that in the Gemara it was divided up differently than the Mishnayos, because in the early I remember once I got a call from a Talmud who's now like a Chashva academic. Menachem Butler called me up one summer and he said, I'm taking Rav Shechter on a tour of Sotheby's. They're having a Svarim auction and we're going to see some of the old Svarim. Do you want to come with us? I said, I don't really have much interest in Sotheby's, but I like hanging out with Rav Shechter. So, okay, I'll come. So I went and they showed us that Gemara's from like, I don't know, 500 years ago, but from before the Vilna Shas, was printed, and all the Gemaras in every Perek had all the Mishnayos on one page, and then all the Gemaras. That's the way the Gemaras were printed. So it makes sense. I got the impression that maybe that's what happened in certain Prakim and Shas. Like in the first Perek of Masech Sanhedrin, there's only one gigantic Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, and then you have the whole Perek. Maybe they missed it. They forgot to split it up or something. I don't know how that happened exactly. But that's what you have. You'll have a The, it will be called the Reisha and the Seifa within a particular parak. But from one parak to the next, to call it a Reisha and a Seifa, so that's what Rashi writes in Dibra Maskil Reisha, that even though it's two different parakim, we're going to call it a Reisha and a Seifa over here, because starting with the second parak, we describe the Avodas Hayom of Yom HaKippurim, and that goes straight through the later parakim. So since it's all one hemshech of a description of the Avodas Hayom, we don't switch topics when we switch parakim. It describes the Avodas Hayom. So that's why we're calling it a Reisha and a Seifa, because it doesn't make sense if you're going to describe the Avoda in Yom HaKippurim and you're going to jump back and forth between Shittos. So that's what the Gemara is really asking. That Reisha is going to be like that the first Mishnah here is like the Rabbanan. Then in the middle Mishnah is going to be like Abishal. And then the last Mishnah, then the Mishnah back in the third paragraph is going to be like Abishal. Tosus raises the question, why does the Gemara have to ask from the Mishnah Daf Lamed Aleph in the third parak? We could have asked the Stiru within the Mishnah Daf Chaf Hei, because that Rav Papa said goes like Abishaul, because that very same Mishnah goes not like Abishaul, because the Mishnah goes on to say that Mi Shochet Mi Zorek, it says Mi Medashin Mizbeach HaPnimi VeHaMenorah. So it sounds like the Dama Tamid was done before the Dishon HaMizbeach VaMenorah, because Mi Shochet Mi Zorek, who's going to be Zorek the Dama Tamid? And then it describes the Dishon HaMizbeach VaMenorah. According to Abishol, the Dishon HaMizbeach HaPnimi and the Menorah were before the Dama Tamid. That's in the Seder Marach of Abaye that we have on Daf Lamed Gimel that we say every morning. So it must be that the Mishnah holds like the Shita of the Chachamim. So Tulsa suggests it could be that Rav Papa disagrees with Abaye and holds that even according to Abishol, the Dama Tamid precedes the Dishon HaMizbeach HaPnimi and the Menorah. So we can't ask directly from that Mishnah, so that's why we're jumping to the Mishnah Daf Lamed Aleph to ask this question. But be that as it may, that's the question the Gemara is asking, that if we're going to make this ukimta, like Rav Papa is doing, to answer the stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Chafei, by saying that our Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan and the Mishnah Chafei is going like Abishaul, well then the Masechta is laid out in a very unusual way, because you have the Rabbanan over here, Abishaul and Daf Chafei, and the Rabbanan again on Daf Lamed Aleph, and that's highly unusual. So says Gemara, Amalach Rav Papa, it's unusual, but it's the best option. Reisha v'sefer Rabbanan m'tzias Abishol. That's just the way the Masechta is laid out, and it is what it is. So says Gemara, well, Bishlam Abaye Lomar Rav Papa. Well, now I understand very well why Abaye didn't give Rav Papa's answer. When dealing with the stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Daf Chafei, Abaye didn't want to say that our Mishnah is Rabbanan and the Mishnah Chafei is Abishol, because look where it led you. It led you to say that the Masechta jumps back and forth from one sheet to the other. So I get it. I get why Abaye doesn't want to say, like Rav Papa, Reisha who wants to say that's the way the Masechta was arranged? But what was wrong with Abaye's answer? Why does Rav Papa not just say like Abaye that the Akhtaris Akhtaris happened in between that Tavis Chamish Neros and that Tavis Shtei Neros? That what happened first, Hatavis Neros or Akhtaris, depends which Neros you're talking about. So sometimes the Akhtaris was after some of the Neros and before others, and then it solves all the problems. So Amalach, he'll tell you, does it make sense that we would first talk about the Atavas Shtei Neros and then the Atavas Chamesh Neros? Meaning the earlier of the two Mishnayos talks about the Atavas Shtei Neros according to Abaye, because the Atavas Shtei Neros is what followed the Ketores. The earlier of the two Mishnayos says that the Ketores followed by the Atavas Neros. The later of the two Mishnayos says the Atavas Neros followed by the Ketores. So it puts it's also out of order, because the first thing would be made to the Chamesh Neros, then do the Ketores, then do the Atavas Shtei Neros. So according to Abaye, it's out of order also. Abaye will tell you that's not really a kasha, because the Mishnayos in the first parak aren't talking about the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. It's just coming to tell me what types of things the Kohen Gadol would do in the week leading up to Yom HaKippurim. So it doesn't have to be makbid about the Seder, because we're not really laying out a Seder in the first parak. That's not really the goal of the first parak. The goal of the first parak is to tell me what we did with the Kohen Gadol in the week before Yom HaKippurim. So you could just list the Avodas in whatever order you want. Whereas starting with the second parak, that's where we're going to go through the Seder Hayom, and the key word over there is Seder. We're going to go through the actual order of the day. So that's where it really needs to be in order. The Sidra, Ha-Hadatanila, the Seder of the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim, that's going to be taught later on in the second parak, and Daf Chafei, with the Atava of the Chamish Neros, and then in the third parak, and Daf Lamed Aleph, the Atava of the Shtei Neros. So that's going to work out just fine in terms of the order, because we don't need an order here in the first parak. Okay, period. Now we go back to what we said on yesterday's daf about the zrika of the dam of the Karban Tamid. We had a machlokas. How exactly would they do the zrikas hadam of the Karban Tamid? So gufa, going back to what we said yesterday, that the Kohen goes, after he's mekabel the dam, to the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach, and he stands and he throws the dam on the northeastern corner in a way that dam hits both on the north side and the eastern side of the Mizbeach. And then he goes to his right, to Ma'aravis Dromis, to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, and Nosin Ma'aravis Dromis, and he does the same thing over there. One Zrika, that is Shtayim, that hits both walls when he throws it toward the corner. Vitani Allah, and the Tosef says over there that Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah Mishaneh B'Tamid. The Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah changed the way that they would put the dam of the Karban Tamid from the way that they would do with the other Olos. That Balo Lekeren Mizrachis Tzfonis Nosim Mizrachis Tzfonis. He says, you're right. The first part is exactly like you said. You go to the northeastern corner and you do one Zrika of dam that hits both the north and the east. But then Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah changes it and he says, Ma'aravis Dromis Nosin Ma'arava. When you get to the southwest corner, instead of just doing one zrika that hits both the southern side and the western side, you first do a zrika on the Marava, on the western side, and then a second zrika on the southern side. So whereas on the northeast side, it's Achashi Shtayim, on the southwest side, it's Shtayim, change Shtayim. You do two separate zrikos. So my time is Rabbi Shimon and Shemitzvah, that's an unusual thing to do. Why does he say that? That by the Karban Tamid, you on the southwest side, it's two separate matanos of dam, one on the western side and one on the southern side. That's totally different than every other carbonola. That every carbonola is by each matan, it's matan dam, it's achashish taim. So just like you did by the Mizrach Tzfonis, it's also strange to switch right in the middle of a carbon from one style of zrikas dam to another style of zrikas dam. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Chad de Beir Rabbi Yan. So that's our first question, Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, so what's the basis for it? So because the pasuk says by the karbanos of Rosh Chodesh, usiri zimechad dechatos Hashem. And the pasuk seems to be telling me that you bring a seir lechatas in addition to the tamid that you bring each and every day. So it sounds like olahi, that it's an olas tamid, and nevertheless v'amrachmana oved b'maisa chatas. And the Torah is telling me to treat it in some way like a karban chatas, because the fact that it says lechatas l'Hashem al olas tamid sounds like you're doing a chatas on the olas tamid, that you do chatas type activities on the olas hatamid. So which is it? Is it an ola or is it a chatas? So haketzad, how are you mekayim both of those elements of it, both an ola element and a chatas element? So that's Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah's solution. Then noch saying achas shi'ishtayim k'maisa ola, that in one corner of the mizbeach you do an achas shi'ishtayim, you throw one zrika that hits two walls of the mizbeach just like you would by a regular carbon ola, and then shtayim shein shtayim k'maisa chatas, and then on the other corner you do shtayim shein shtayim, which is exactly what you would normally do by a karban chatas, where you would do shtayim shein, where by a karban chatas normally you would do four separate matnos dam, so on the four sides of the mizbech. So that's what you do over here as well. The achronim point out that we don't say that it's called an ola in that, meaning why not say that it's an ola in that it's entirely burnt on the mizbech? Because so he says, because it's not just that it's called an ola, it's that it's maisa ola that you do with it. When we talk about the maisa, it must be in the ikr mechaper of the karban, which is the dam. That something about the dam of the carbon has to be like an ola. So we split the dam as partially treated like an ola, partially treated like a chatos. That's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. So now that we know that that's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah, the Gemara is going to ask five questions on the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Isha Mitzvah. So says Gemara, question number one, V'litein shtayim shein arba k'maisa ola, v'arba shein arba k'maisa chatos. Why do I start with achas shein shtayim and then shtayim shein shtayim? If I want to do both Ola and Chatos Rikos, why don't I do two full sets of Rikos? Do Shtayim Shein Arba like you would in Ola, and then go back around and do Arba Shein Arba, and do another four Rikos. Why don't I do that? Meaning, why is it that we split it in half? Why not just repeat. So says Gemara, lo matzina dam shem mechaper b'chaz mechaper, because that's unusual. We never find such a thing that you're going to be mechaper with a full set of zrikos and then do another set of zrikos after you're already mechaper. That's unusual. We never find such a thing. Says Gemara, yeah, but we never find this either. V'chim matzina damim shechetzin chatos v'chetzin ola. Do we find any other carbon where you treat the dam halfway like a chatos and halfway like an ola? You don't do that either. Ela al korchani kishan akasuf. No, but the Torah makes this hekesh to tell me that it's an ola with characteristics of a chatas. So achinami al korchani kishan akasuf. So why don't I say the same thing and say that that because the Torah gives it characteristics of both an ola and a chatas, that I should just do a repeat of all of the matanos. Do a shtayim shein arba and then do arba shein arba. So I'm back to that question. Says the Gemara, no, hasam pisuk matanos bi'al mihi. It's too much of an anomaly to go around twice and to do a whole separate set of matanam. But over here, what are you doing here? It's barely noticeable. When you go to the second corner and you're just doing two zrikos instead of one zrika, it's barely noticeable that that's what you're doing. So it could be that that's what so it's more likely that that's what the pasuk means. That you're not going to, meaning of the two options, it's more likely that that's what the pasuk means, that you do an achashen shtayim in one corner and a shtayim shen shtayim in the other corner. So now the Gemara asks question number two on Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzvah, that there is another chiluk between matan dam of an ola and a chatas, and that is that the dam ola is always put lemata mechut hasikra, underneath the dam is always thrown below the red line on the mizbeach, whereas dam chatas is always lemala mechut hasikra. So ask the Gemara, if you really want to treat it partially like an ola and partially like a chatas, I have an idea. V'nesev achashi shtayim lemata kemaisa ola, v'shtayim shen shtayim lemaila kemaisa chatas. Why don't you do the zrika on the northeastern corner, which you're treating like a carbonola, that should be below the chuta sikra. And the zrika on the southwestern corner, that you're treating like a chatas, that should be lemaila mechuta sikra. So why don't we assume that we switch the height of the mizbeach, that we're doing the zrikos as well? Says the Gemara, you can't do that. You can't do the first matan of dam on lemata and the last matnos dam lemaila, because lo matzinu damim shechetzin lemaila v'chetzin lemata. We never find a single korban where some of the dam is lemaila and some of the dam is lemata. We never have such a thing. Velo says, "Well, really, we never have such a thing." Vatanan, there's a mishnah we're going to learn later in the Masechta, not discussing the mizbeach, right? Certainly not the mizbeach chitzon, or even the mizbeach pnimi, not the mizbeach at all. It's going to describe the kohen gadol going to the kodesh hakodashim, and he's going to be he's coming with the dam apar, and it says he's a mimenu. Achas lemaila v'sheva lemata, that he takes from the dam and he throws keneged the kapores, so achas lemaila, one up and sheva lemata, and seven zrikos lemata. So the Gemara understands that the Mishnah means that it's one is lemaila from the thickness of the middle of the thickness of the kapores, and the sheva zos lemata are below the thickness. So you see that it's the same dam is partially lemaila and partially lemata. So why can't we say the same thing by the Mizbeach? So the Gemara says, no, you're misunderstanding the Mishnah. The Lamata and Lamata doesn't mean above half the halfway mark and below the halfway mark. No, Kimatzlif. It means that he'd be do the first Hazah Klape Maila. You do it upward, and then the Hazah afterward, after that, would go downward. Meaning, my Kimatzlif, Machve Rav Yehuda Kaman Gada. Rav Yehuda described, like the Shliach Bezdin would issue the Malkus, that one is below the next, that one lashing is below the next one. So they would start on the upper part of the shoulders and go lower and lower when they gave Malkus. Over here also, he'd be Maza, one sprinkling below the next. It was in a row. It was seven in a row, one below the other. So the Matana Rishona is distinguished from the other seven because the Matana Rishona was different in terms of the way he positioned his hand. With the Matana Rishona, he threw it in an upward motion, and with the other seven, it was in a downward motion. But even in the downward motion, he was going downward. He was going one below the other in the downward motion. But it has nothing to do with where the blood landed in terms of above and below a halfway mark. So it says Gemara below, but still, Do we not find Matan Dam that's partially lemaila of a halfway mark and partially lemata of the halfway mark? Vatnan. We have another Mishnah later on in the Masechta, Daf Nun Ches, that after the Kohen Gadol mixed the Dam Apar and the Dam Asir together, and he sprinkled on the Karnos HaMizbeach HaPanimi, so now it's on the Mizbeach, but on the inner Mizbeach, not on the outer Mizbeach. So what does it describe? He's a Mimenu Al Tia Rosh HaMizbeach Sheva Pa'amim. He would sprinkle on the Tia Rosh HaMizbeach Sheva Pa'amim, seven times. So what does it mean? He's al tiro shel mizbech. My love, apal gid mizbech. Doesn't tiro mean the halfway mark in the mizbech, that they would take the halfway mark of the height of the mizbech, and that's where he would sprinkle kedamri inshi tara tiara hu pal gidioma. Just like people describe, tara tiara means halfway through the day. So since he has to do the hazaa directly at the halfway mark of the mizbech, it's going to come out automatically that some of the dam is going to go on the top half and some on the bottom half. He's not going to hit the line, right, the exact halfway mark. So if he's aiming at the halfway mark, so some of the dam is going to be on the top half, some of the dam is going to be on the bottom half. So again, the Gemara's question was, on Rabbi Shimon HaMitzvah, you're telling me that we give the dam atamid some of the characteristics of an ol and some of the characteristics of a chatas. How do I know that's only about how many matnos dam? Maybe it's about the placement of the matnos dam also. So the Gemara says, no, we never have that. You're never going to have some of the dam on the upper half and some of the dam on the bottom half. So Gemara is asking now, yes, you do. Because the Kohen Gadol in Yom HaKippurim has on the Mizbeach HaPnimi some of the dam on the top half, some on the bottom half, because it describes that he aims toward the middle. So if you aim toward the middle, some are going to be on the bottom and some are going to be on the top. That's the way target practice works, right? You aim toward the target. You never hit the bullseye every time, so it's going to be around the target. If you're good, I've got an axe throwing, it just lands on the floor. But if you're good, some will be on top and some will be on the bottom of the target. Samaram Barashila Lo, when it says Tia Rosh HaMizbeach, you're misunderstanding Tia Rosh HaMizbeach. Tia Rosh HaMizbeach does not mean the halfway mark of the Mizbeach. No, it means Agufe de Mizbeach. It means on the top of the Mizbeach. He would what they would do is they would move away the ashes from the burning of the ketores that they would do on the mizbeach, and they'd shovel away the ashes and reveal the actual top of the mizbeach. That's tiaro shel mizbeach. Tiaro doesn't mean halfway mark, like the sun in middle of the day is in the halfway mark of the sky. Tiaro means clarity, that there's nothing there, that there's nothing in the way. That's what the phrase means. Dichsiv, like the pasuk in Chumash says, uve'etzem ha'shamayim latohar. Ve'etzem ha'shamayim latohar means there's not a cloud in the sky. It means that it's perfectly clear. So that's what it means. So we don't actually find that you would do a zrika of dam that's partially above the halfway mark and partially below the halfway mark, and that's why Rabbi Shimon HaMitzvah, when he's balancing the dam of the tamid and saying it's sort of like an ola and sort of like a chatos, it's only about the matnos dam. It's not about it's only about the number of matnos dam. It's not about the placement of the dam on the mizbeach. So says Gemara, question number three on Rabbi Shimon HaMitzvah. Maishna diavol b'reisha v'adriyav the chatos. Okay, I understand you want to treat it like both an ola and a chatos. Why do we first treat it like an ola? Meaning the first matnos dam is yach hashen shtay. That's like an ola. Then you go to the southwest corner and it's shtayim, shtayim, shtayim. That's like a chatas. Why not the other way around? Nesiv bereshit the chatas vada nesiv dalda. Why not on the first do shtayim, 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 and then do achas, shtayim, shtayim? So it says Mar, kivan to olahi, he kad mebereshah. Now, because what is it really? The carbon tamid is really a carbon ola. So since it's really a carbon ola, it's just that the Torah says, in some way we treat it like a chatas. So that's why when you split, how you do this Rika Saddam, first treat it like an ola, and then treat it like a chatas. Umayshna diyav mizrach. So now, question number four on Rabbi Shimon HaMitzvah. Umayshna diyav mizrach svonis maravis dromis. Why do we pick these two corners, the northeastern corner and the southwestern corner? Now, why not nesiv dromis mizrachis? Why not the southeast vahadr svonis maravis, and then the northwest? We just need to hit all four corners. So why are we dafka doing it this way? In these corners, why not the other two corners? Samri ola tu una yisod. No, because the ola needs to be put on the corner of the mizbeach where there's a yisod beneath it, and on the vekaren dromus mizrachis lava le yisod, and the southeast corner didn't have any yisod because the majority of the southern side and the majority of the eastern side of the mizbeach didn't have a yisod. Remember, we discussed how the yisod does not wrap around the mizbeach is not perfectly symmetrical. The yisod does not wrap around the entirety of the mizbeach. It only wraps around two sides and a little bit on the other two sides, like one a little. Hemshech on the other two sites, but not in the majority on the southern eastern side. And the reason is because we learned about how the Mizbeach was really, it was the Ritzua that was Yotze, so we had to split the Chelek of Binyamin and the Chelek of Yehuda, where the Mizbeach had to be entirely in one Shevet's portion. So that's why it doesn't have a Yisod. But whatever the reason it doesn't have a Yisod, bottom line is, it doesn't have a Yisod. And therefore, that the Zrika cannot be done on that portion, because the entire Mizbeach has to be Bechelko Shel Binyamin and not Bechelko Shel Yehuda. So says the Gemara, okay, final question on Rabbi Shimon HaShemitzvah. Maishna Diyav Bereisha Mizrach Tzvon. So now I get why you're doing an Achas Shein Shtayim in one corner, Shtayim Shein Shtayim in the other corner. I get why they're all on the same height of the Mizbeach. I get why you chose Dafka these corners. I get why you're doing it in this order, that you're doing first the Achas Shein Shtayim and then the Shtayim Shein Shtayim. But here's what's difficult. Maishna Diyav Bereisha Mizrach Tzvon is Vadamar Rav Shdromus. Once you've picked your two corners, what made you choose northeast first and then southwest? Why not do the other way? Why not do the southwestern corner first and then the northeastern corner? So that's the Gemara, because this is a rule throughout Shas, and particularly in the Avodah space of Mikdash. Kivan Damar Mar, since we have a teaching of Rami Bar Yecheskel that we're going to see in a Brisa later on in Dafnan Ches, that Kol Pinosha Tapon Lo Yehu El Derech Yimin LeMizrach, that whenever you're doing Avodah in the base of Mikdash, you always turn toward the right. So since the Kohen is coming from the southern side, which is the place where the ramp was on the Mizbeach, and that's where he's starting to go around the Mizbeach, so he's always going to turn right. So the first corner he's going to hit is the southeastern corner, where he can't put the dam because there's no Keren over there. So the next corner he's going to hit is the northeastern corner. So Bereisha, Bahu, Paga. So that's the first spot that he's going to hit where he could do his Rikas Adam, and that's why the first Rikas Adam happens there, and the first Rikas Adam should be his Rikas Adam like a Karban Ola, and that's why it's an Achas Sheishtayim in that corner of the Mizbeach. This idea of Kalpino Shatapon Lo Yuel Darachimin is the basis, Shumas Adeshin writes in Simon Kovav, in the name of the Maharam, why in the first night of Hanukkah we light one Ner of Hanukkah, but then on every subsequent night we start with the candle that's most to the left and we move toward the right, because Kalpino Shatapon Lo Yuhu El Darachimin. It is interesting, he writes that the Bnei Ostreich had the opposite minhag, that they would light the rightmost candle first and go in the other direction. It actually turns out it's a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch as well. In the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, the Levush says not like the Trumas Hadashen, right? The Shulchan Aruch sounds like exactly like the Trumas Hadashen. The Levush says no, that you go miyamin l'smol, just like you would write the Hebrew language. That's how you light the Neiros Chanukah, from right to left. But I think the more prevalent minhag is like what the Shulchan Aruch says, to start with the left and go toward the right. Kol pina shatapon elo yehu elo derech yimin. So says Gemara, ma'ida ba alu hu dekam rachmana avid ba ma'isachatas. How do I know to explain the pasuk that you should do with the olas tamid like you do with the karban chatas? V'dilma b'chatas hu dekam rachmana avid ba ma'isola. Maybe he's telling me the opposite. Maybe he's telling me that take a chatas and treat it like an ola, that you should first do shtei matanos like a karban chatas and then do matana achas like a karban ola. So lo salkadai tuchsiv alolas tamid yeah, seven is go. My kamer rachmana midi dechatas shadia ola, because the pasuk says olas hatamid. So if it calls it an olas hatamid, it's defining this carbon tamid as a carbon ola. So therefore, that's what it is, and that's what you start with. And it's only afterwards that you then say and give it a little bit of a chatas flavor. We give it a little bit of a chatas of a maisa chatas. So that's the second matnas dam, and the third matnas dam are like a chatas. Okay, so now the Gemara goes into a discussion that's going to bring us into tomorrow's daf already. Tanan Hasam. There's a Mishnah Maseches Tamid. This discussion is really a Maseches Tamid discussion. It's not a Maseches Yuma discussion. The only reason we're bringing it, Rashi points out, is because we're going to ask a stira between two Mishnayos, and the stira between the two Mishnayos is going to be resolved by saying that one entire Masechta follows a Shita of a particular Tana. Just like we had the stira between our Mishnah, where we said that Mishnah Tamid, we said Rav Shimon Nisha Mitzvah is the author of those Mishnayos. And we said not those Mishnayos, these Mishnayos. So it's a similar format. So it's not Nasim Amrila Mamuna. The Sagan, Kohen Gadol, would say to the Kohanim who are bringing the Tamid Shel Shachar, Tzu'uvi Yaviu Tla Milishchas Peis HaTlaim. Go bring a Tla from the Lishchas Peis HaTlaim to use for the Karban. So it says Mar, Valishchas HaTlaim Aisu B'Muksava Tzvonis Maravis. It was in the northwestern side of this large Beis HaMokad. Varba L'Shachos HaYisham. There were four corners, four small rooms in the corners. Achas Lishchas HaTlaim. One of them was the Lishchas HaTlaim. Vachas Lishchas HaChosamos. Another one was where they would have the Chosamos, which we learned about in Masech HaShkalim, how you would purchase the different Nesachim for the Karbanos by using these Chosamos. Vachas Lishchas Beis HaMokad. And then the Lishchas Beis HaMokad, where they had the supplies for the fire. Vachas Lishchas HaOsen Bal Lechem HaPanim. And the other one was where they would make the Lechem HaPanim. So Reminhu, but I'll ask you a steer of the Mishnah. Masech HaMidah says, Arba Lishchas HaYel Beis HaMokad. That there were four Lishchas of the Beis HaMokad. Kikitonios HaPsuchas the Traklin. They were like small rooms that opened up on this into this big hall. Shtayim b'kodesh or shtayim b'chol, and two of the rooms were actually in the kodesh, and two of them were in the chol. Didn't have kedushas beis hamikdash. V'rashi paspas and mavdilin ben kodesh l'chol, and they had like these wooden markers to distinguish to break between the side that was in kodesh and the side that was in chol. Umayim mishamshos maravis dromus he lishchas tlay karban. The maravis dromus was lishchas tlayim. Dromus mizrachis he lishchas shayos melechem apanim mizrachis zvonis b'ganzu chashmonai avni mizbeach shiksu malchi yavan. That's where they put away the stones of the mizbeach that the Yavanim destroyed, and zvonis maravis by yardin lebeis hatvila. And the northwestern one is where they went to the beis hatvila. So in this mishnah it's mefurash that the lishchas hatzlayim was in the southwestern corner, which is so said the mishnah meseches tamid that says the lishchas hatzlayim was in the northwestern corner. So we're going to leave it at that. The stira in terms of where was the lishchas hatzlayim in Bez Hashem will begin with Rav Huna's answer tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
Have a great day. Back, Rabbi.